This is Ryland Brown, preaching minister of Little Rock Church, and I want to thank you for listening to this sermon that was recently recorded. If you're in the central Arkansas area, we would love for you to check us out on the web at littlerockchurch.org. We're a church committed to loving God and loving others, and I want you to know right now that God loves you. God bless you as you listen.
I volunteered in hospice training for a couple years, which meant when I helped in their training, I would train people on how to be around people who are dying, because it can be uncomfortable, especially in our culture. And do you know, the people that I helped in that process the most were those who had been affected by hospice themselves. There are lots of people who gave money to hospice, which was a wonderful thing to do. But the people who had had a husband, a wife, a family member gone through hospice, those people became very active in that hospice program. I met one lady one time. Her husband died in their care, and she came every week to clean rooms and communal spots like the kitchen because she was so touched by what happened to her 8 years ago. That would have been 12 years ago. I guarantee she's still cleaning kitchens and communal spots. But it's interesting how people give thanks, isn't it? And the people that I met in those hospice situations, not only did they give their money, but they also gave their life through service and dedication. And in our story that we're about to read, we're going to find ourselves at a dinner party with Jesus as the guest. We're going to see Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And they're throwing Jesus a party because Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. Is there any way to get that off the screen? Beautiful. Thank you. And so they want to thank Jesus for what he's done. So if you'd stand with me as I read John 12, 1 through 8 out loud, you read it along in your text, and then I'll pray, and then you may be seated. John 12, 1 through 8. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there. And Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? And Father, we understand now more than ever that the best of men are still men at best. Help us as a church to keep our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of the faith. That all things were made by him and for his glory. Help us to adore him and to become enthralled with who he is. Not for our sake and what we get out of him, but Lord, help us to adore Jesus for his sake, and he's beautiful. There's nothing more precious than our Savior Jesus. Lord, help us to get a clear picture of him this morning that we might be a people of thanksgiving. I pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you like dinner parties? One of the first times I ever cooked Deborah dinner, I made her one of my favorite meals. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. So I grilled her steak, and we were really just getting to know each other. So we were putting still, at that point, our best foot forward. And I bought this wood fire grill, which means you could use charcoal in it, but you could also get some wood and build a fire with wood and grill that way. And so I got it going. And if you know anything about Deborah and steak, it's that she likes it well done. No pink at all. Okay. And so I was trying to do that for her because I was just so thankful that someone like her would spend time with someone like me. I mean, I get the irony of the situation, and I wanted everything to be just right. So I put the steaks on the grill. I let them start to cook, and it started to get dark. And the last thing I wanted was for her steak to be undone. I was out of the house, out of college at this point, but I had not done a lot of cooking, barely for myself, let alone other people at that point. And so I put the steaks on, I flipped them after a few minutes, and I couldn't tell whether they were done or not. So I'd come back inside and tell Deborah, I think five more minutes. Loved ones, do you know what 45 minutes will do to a steak? You do know. Well, it's not tender, and I'm not even sure it's edible. In fact, I know it wasn't. Sometimes Deborah and I will bring up, we have several memorable meals like that that we just start laughing about. But my point is, I tried so hard because I was so thankful for her. Thankful for her. And my point is, I get Martha and Mary and Lazarus in this story. They are concerned about the details, and I think they have this whole dinner party plan. Back in chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And this is not just a simple thank you to Jesus. This is a thank you, Jesus. Lazarus was dead, but he is back with us. And I think they did. As a family, they had this plan. Martha is going to do what she loves to do. She's probably, honestly, the best one to do it. She's worried with the food. She's worried with the details. Lazarus, one of Jesus' close friends, has been raised from the dead. They want him just to spend time with the Savior. And Mary takes this perfume, a one-pound flask of perfume, and a pound in this sense is not 16 ounces, it's about 12 ounces. Think of a can of Coke, and if you've ever messed with perfume, you know that 12 ounces is a lot of oil. That is a lot of oil or perfume. That stuff just gets everywhere. And this was not cheap. This can of perfume would have cost the family somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000. This was something that was usually passed down in the family. It was often used to anoint the dead, so as the body decomposes, it would mask the stench. But this would have, may have very well been the most expensive thing that the family would have owned, and they used it to anoint Jesus. They wanted to say thank you to Jesus because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and so they go above and beyond what they would normally do as a thank you. They want to be outrageous. They want to be extravagant. They want all the details to be just perfect. This is no ordinary dinner party. This is Jesus is about to get a new car sort of dinner party. That this is, you ever watched videos I did last night in preparation for this where kids and adults, they get the ear implants so they could hear? And the look of thankfulness that the people have once they can start to hear. That's how Mary and Martha and Lazarus feel towards Jesus right now. This is a very tender scene. The whole scene is one of extreme thankfulness and adoration. It reminds me of two times when our two oldest daughters were born. On the birth of both our oldest daughters, Madeline and Rebecca, we didn't know how we would pay for their births. We didn't have insurance at the time, and we made too much to get assistance, but we didn't make enough to get to pay for stuff. You ever been in that situation? If you know what that's like, you know it's very frustrating. And I was worried, even with uncomplicated births, it would have been $8,000 apiece. And it's not like elective surgery. Well, I just don't think I'm going to do that right now, right? When the babies come, the baby, you know, it's you can't choose not to. And so we did what we were supposed to do. We tried to prepay as much as we could, but we couldn't come close to what we needed on either child. And then we had the babies, and I kept waiting for the bill. And both times I called the hospital and saying, hey, you know, I want to do what we're supposed to. Let's work out a payment plan or whatever. And both for Madeline and Rebecca, it was the same hospital. Someone paid for the birth of our children. I get goosebumps still thinking about it. Waiting 16 grand, and out of someone else's generosity. And man, if, you know, as soon as that happened one time with Madeline, I said, if we ever run into money, we know which hospital's going to get some. So far, that hadn't been a problem. But if the day ever comes, that hospital's going to get some because it is just extreme thankfulness. Extreme thankfulness. It's more than just someone being nice. It's the sense that this is going to cost you. See, this act of mercy, of raising Lazarus from the dead, cost Jesus. It also cost Lazarus because as a result of his being resurrected, more people at this point in Jesus' ministry wanted to come and kill Jesus and also kill Lazarus because people were coming to Christ as a point of this miracle, this resurrection. It cost Jesus. But this is extreme thankfulness. This is outrageous thankfulness. I mean, think, just $30,000 in just lavishness, just adoration to Christ. This is affectionate thankfulness. Verse 3 says, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume, a pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The fragrance fills the room. It would have been overwhelming. If you've ever been in a liturgical church where they light incense during their liturgy, it just billows and billows and billows. It can be an overwhelming smell. Last Sunday evening, my family and I went to visit a friend of ours who pastors a liturgical church, and they use incense, and Deborah's in the back of their chapel doing one of these numbers because it's just too much. It can be overwhelming. And if you're not familiar with what that kind of smell smells like, all you have to do is imagine a middle school boy with a can of body spray and a lot of confidence because he heard girls like that boys smell good. Gentlemen, one spray is enough. But it's Mary's affection. It's Martha's affection. It's Lazarus's affection. They want their affection to fill the whole house just in sheer adoration of Jesus. They want their thankfulness to fill up the house with adoration of Jesus. This is their way to not just say thank you, but Jesus, you saved me. You saved our family. This is more than a thank you note. This is a party for Jesus. And I think this is a helpful story for a group of Christians and people on a different spectrum of faith journey with God, because I would suspect we have some people in here this morning where some of you like Jesus for all the right reasons. You like who he is, what he teaches. You believe in some of the things that I say about him. But some of you in this room may not just be thankful for him out of simple thankfulness because you're just not there yet. I'm talking about thankful in the way you might spend $30,000 on Jesus just because. Or thankful because, just because of what Jesus has done, you may go and liquidate some things from your home this week and take that money and give it in Jesus' honor to something that you think that he would be pleased with just because I love Jesus. One of the questions I think we're confronted with by this text is this. Would you or I spend $30,000 on Jesus just to thank him? Would you be this lavish toward Jesus just to adore him? And I'm confronted with that because my attitude is most often concerned about my rights, what I deserve, how people need to treat me, and I get very me-focused, and this story pushes back against that ego because at one very real level, it's about adoration and thankfulness to Jesus. Have you ever noticed how Mary rubbed Jesus' feet? We know from the other Gospels that when the oil was poured on Jesus' head and down to his feet, he was covered. It wasn't just his feet, it's everywhere. But Mary takes her hair, her beautiful hair. Well, one of the things, a symbol in that culture of what it meant to be a woman, and to take that intimate, beautiful hair and do what was normally reserved for servants. Mary, when she's rubbing Jesus' feet, she's saying, Jesus, the best part of me doesn't come close to the best part of you. I'll take the best part of me will rub the dirty things about you. It's very dirty to wash feet in those days. Mary is an extreme adoration. She's saying, Jesus, you're worth so much more than anything else. See, Jesus is understanding this act of mercy, this extravagant act of love, because not too far from now, he will pour himself out on the whole world in love by dying for sin and paying the price that we can be reconciled to God. That's why I think Jesus tells Judas, let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. I don't think Jesus is saying, Judas, stop it so that Mary can keep the perfume. I think what Jesus is saying is, Judas, don't rob Mary of this moment, because in a few days she's going to need to remember as I go to the cross. As I'm up there hanging and she's watching, she needs to remember that I rose Lazarus from the dead and I have the authority over life and death. She's going to see Jesus suffer and die, and she needs to hold on to this moment, Judas. Judas, don't rob Mary of this. Loved ones, when we remember what God has done, it helps us when things are awful, doesn't it? Like, it's grace, but when I know God is somehow going to work it out, that He's going to take care of us when our two babies are born, it makes me a little less anxious the next time when something comes around. That's why I think in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and all the times that we read the Psalms, they're constantly reclaiming the stories of what God has done in the past. Why? As a reminder that God works and God moves even when you and I don't always see it. We may not know how God is working, but we remember that God works. So Judas, don't rob this scene from Mary. Don't rob Mary of her extreme thankfulness. Let her hold on to this, because Judas, in just a short while, you're going to sell me for 30 pieces of silver. Do you know how much that's worth? About $1,000. Because the real question for both Mary and Judas is this: what is Jesus worth to you? For Mary, it's worth extravagant love that is poured out on Jesus. It's about taking the very best of her, the most intimate of her, her heart, and anointing Jesus. For Judas, Jesus is worth about $1,000. And Little Rock Church, what is Jesus worth to you this morning? See, for Judas, Jesus was worth what he could get out of him. Judas wanted to use Jesus for his own personal benefit. Judas wanted to use Jesus for his own personal sake. But for Mary, Jesus was worth every... She didn't want to use Jesus. She wanted to glorify and magnify and adore Jesus. Little Rock Church, we've got to be a church that adores Jesus Christ. We've got to be a church that adores the Savior in this same way. Just for the sake of Him. No ulterior motive other than Jesus is beautiful. See, this perfume, it filled the whole house, didn't it? It was fragrance. And loved ones, here's what all this has to do with you and me. The fragrance of Christ fills the whole world with His love. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians. Listen to this. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Loved ones, you are the aroma of Christ. Don't just fill a room this week. And don't just fill a house this week. You go fill the world this week with the aroma of Christ. You fill the world. You fill your neighbors' lives and your friends' lives with the aroma of Christ. God, who leads us in triumph in Christ, He manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Loved ones, you need to go out today and this week and clothe yourself with the knowledge of Jesus and make that aroma grow and grow and grow. Loved ones, what I'm telling you is that the light outshines the darkness every time. And when you and I begin to meditate and read about Jesus, understand His presence, and just adore Him because He's beautiful. Just adore Him because He's beautiful. It will change the world. Not only was this act an extravagant act of Jesus, but now did you know that you all are those in Christ are a fragrance of God, a fragrance of Christ to God? Fill the world with the aroma of Jesus. Both the follower of Jesus and those not yet on the way who need to smell this aroma. I have a friend, he's a pastor. He has a tattoo on his wrist of a cross. I asked him about it recently, and so he told me the story of how Coptic Christians in Egypt, when they get baptized, even as babies, they get tattoos. And I thought, that is awesome, babies with tattoos. So cool. No, it's not. It's not. But that's what they do, because their thought probably means something to be a Christian in that part of Egypt where you can lose your life, and they don't want you to be able to hide it. And so when you're baptized into the church, into the fellowship, you get tattooed. And he was telling me the story about this 15-year-old boy had this tattoo, and he was at school in class, and his Muslim teacher said, "Take that off." And he said, "I can't." And the Muslim teacher said, take that off. And he said, sir, I can't. It's a tattoo. And with that, his classmates beat him to death in school because he couldn't take Christ off. And my friend said his tattoo is to remind him of the persecution around the world, because compared to giving your life, $30,000 isn't too much, is it? But think through this, what it means to be the aroma of Christ, because that's a real way to be the aroma of Christ. When you hear stories like that, or Mary and Martha and costly perfume, we might be compelled to think that it's about giving to God everything in one grand gesture. Let's say $1,000 represents your life, and God gives you $1,000 to represent your life, and he says, I want you to spend this for me in thanks to Jesus. And many of us, when we hear these stories, or Jesus saying, pick up your cross and follow me, we think, God, I'm ready to lay my $1,000 on the line. And he might want you to do that. But my experience is that it's not $1,000 on the line at once. It's 25 cents here for most of us. It's a nickel there. It's a dime here. It's saying, I've given my life to Jesus so that come what may, I will lay down my life in service to the Lord and others in 25-cent payments. The only sermon I remember from Bible college was Dr. Bridges, my Greek professor. He preached a sermon on tables and chairs. And the only sermon I remember out of all my time there, out of the hundreds of sermons they made us endure. But he said, some of you are going to go, you're going to serve churches. Some of you are going to be missionaries. Some of you are going to be at large churches, small churches. And he said, whatever you are, you don't be too big to move tables and chairs. Whatever it is, and then he was making the case, when you pick up your cross and follow Jesus, you never become so big in ministry that you can't put up tables and chairs, and you can't set out tables and chairs, and 25 cents here, 35 cents there, a nickel, a dime. So showing thanks to Jesus might be a $25,000 jar of perfume, but it might also be choosing to follow Jesus in the details of everyday life. When I wake up, I follow him. I'm going to smile at the coworker that can't get along with anyone. I'm going to build them up. I'm going to get plugged into a ministry. Some of you have been working in our food ministry for a long time, giving out 25 cents here and 25 cents there of your life. Some of you have been working in our children's ministry, teaching kids about Jesus, and you lay it down, and that's not a 25-cent thing. That's $1.50 to work with kids. Moms and dads, you may not feel like much, but when your kids see you worship God, when your kids see you read the Bible, when your kids hear you pray, and when you ask them to do those things with you, you're giving your life. I had coffee with Angela Driscoll this week, a medical doctor, and she shared with me how she tries to live out this idea in her medical career by loving her patients and pointing them to God and having conversations, and 25 cents here, 25 cents there, 50 cents there. I will lay down my life. Some of you have jobs that are just jobs, but Scripture says that we're to work as if we're working for the Lord, and your boss is crummy. But to be able to say, I'm not going to be part of the gossip at work. I'm going to work as to the Lord with this person. I'm going to build my boss up. I want my boss to succeed in the name of Jesus. 50 cents. The point is, I'm so thankful for Jesus that I'm going to choose to look at those around me, and I want the aroma of Christ to fill the world. My challenge to you this morning is not to do big extravagant things like give $30,000, even though if you do, please do it and make it out to the new Little Rock Church motorcycle ministry if you decide to. My challenge to you is not to do extravagant things, even though some of us may call to. My challenge is to give yourself away in small payments. Let me give four practical ways that I think you can show thanks to Jesus today, especially when you can't give $30,000. One, choose to spend more than just Sunday morning in this kind of worship activity. I talked a little bit last week about how I struggle with quiet times and extemporaneous prayer, but every day I try to make some effort to be in connection with God. Pick a time and just be with him, just to be with him. Give your life a picture a posture of everyday thankfulness for Jesus. Read a story from the Gospels every day. Get to know the kind of person Jesus is. Secondly, you can practically give your $1,000 away of your life when you forgive somebody. And you might have to do it tomorrow, wake up and forgive. But if God can forgive you, you should be able to forgive someone else. Forgiving is showing thanks to God. It's a 50-cent way that says, God, I am thankful for what you've done. And what they've done to me is not nearly as severe as what I've done to you. Forgive. In fact, in April and May, we're going to offer a Sunday school class at the 9 o'clock hour about peacemaking. And that Jesus has called us to be people of peacemakers, not to avoid conflict, but to bring peace. Give your life away by forgiving in your heart, knowing you're going to have to do it tomorrow. Thirdly, how do we give our $1,000 away? I don't know if you keep spare dollar bills in your car, but one of the things you can practically do is when you see someone down on their luck on the side of the road, and young drivers, don't be dangerous and stupid about this, but give a buck or two to someone who needs it and don't judge them. But, well, I wonder how they're going to spend the money. No. You just, in an act of sacrifice, I will give this to you for your sake, not mine. Fourthly, and at this time I'm going to ask our servers to go ahead and come and get communion. And we're going to do communion a little bit differently this morning. We're going to pass out the trays instead of everybody coming. But as they're doing that, I want to say a few things. Fourthly, if you want to show a practical way to show thanks to Jesus, you need to renew your heart and mind for the people of God. For your people here at Little Rock Church and those throughout the world. And as soon as you've got the trays, if you'll go ahead and start just passing them down. Loved ones, I'm not your pastor, but I'm going to pastor you for a minute. And when the preacher starts pastoring, we normally call that meddling, but that's okay. It's been a tough couple years here at Little Rock Church. We've gone through some junk, right? And if you're a visitor today, you need to know that we are a church family. We're not a nonprofit organization that puts on a show on Sunday mornings. We're a family. And I think one of the ways you can show thanks to Jesus is by today renewing your heart and your mind right now that these are my people. And to say, I will always think the best of others. Do you know the thing Jesus prayed for? And don't take communion yet, just hold it. Do you know the thing Jesus prayed for before he died? He prayed for unity. He prayed for his people to be one. And I think that means the local church, but also the church at large. I lament the breakup of the church into schisms and factions. And so, Little Rock Church, we need to renew our heart for these people in this room. But we also need to renew our heart to the larger church, to those outside of our tribe, to our Baptist and Methodist and Anglican friends who love the Lord. And here's what I think it means practically for some of us over the next year. I don't think church attendance is everything. I don't think you have to be here so many Sundays to get attendance credit in heaven. But I would like you to consider that the next year, to change the culture in some of your lives where you decide you can't do other things because these are my people. That I can't participate in that activity because these are my people. And I'm not saying you do it all the time. I don't want to be legalistic about it. But loved ones, sometimes the way we give thanks to God is by saying, I will choose these people over the other good stuff that comes up from time to time. You need to choose your small group over some of the other options that come up. Out of thanks of adoration to Jesus. You need to say, I can't take that tea time, but I'm happy to become at 1 o'clock because these are my people. I can't go on that trip this year because these are my people. And everyone hear me clearly. They will know we are disciples of Jesus by what? Our love. Little Rock Church, love one another. Children of God, love one another. Loved ones, love one another.